My name's Matthew Williams. I'm a sort of former customs and excise employee that left all that behind to go and chase crop circles. And then I got arrested for making crop circles in 2000. So I got a little bit of notoriety. I've been carrying on doing my paranormal research for many years since. And I recently got a bit of traction on my YouTube channel called The Secret Vault, which looks into old military bases and does urbex things, you know, going around urban locations and looking at abandoned buildings and sites.
Yeah, this is becoming quite an obsession for a lot of people, especially when they've got a bit of time on their hands, is to go and find forbidden places and then to go within. But let's just start by talking a bit about your crop circle days. This is interesting, isn't it? Because you're they're making crop circles. Are you an alien?
No, I don't know, because I mean I was adopted, so maybe they have been sort of injecting these people into society through that means, through the backdoor method. So yes, don't know my real parents, so maybe I was created in a pod or something. Yeah, but you know, I wouldn't say that the people who make crop circles are necessarily aliens, but we have had some weird experiences making them, including some strange coincidences in the designs we've done that we've ended up doing things that other people have been asking for and sort of meditating on, and we've gone out and done the same design.
Yeah, I know you had a challenge, didn't you, out around about the end of the last century, which was, and maybe 2002, where you were saying, if there's a crop circle that you think only an alien could make, we'll make it.
Yeah, that's right. And people said, all right, then we'll make the largest, most complicated one that appeared on top of a hill. And we said, yeah, okay then. But unfortunately, they didn't quite sort out the permissions with the farmer. And, you know, they wanted to basically know where we were going to be. And I was like, well, hang on. The whole point is that you want us to replicate something, but you're going to have people sort of like crowding around and messing us about when we're doing it. So, you know, we need a little bit more control over it. So it didn't happen in the end. But I mean, yeah, I've replicated quite a few crop circles that have been out there just to kind of show people that it can be done. You know, they weren't actually my crop circles as well, some of them. So that cheesed off the other circle makers who said, you can't go copying our work without our permission. I'm like, yeah, okay. So.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of kudos, isn't there, I think, comes from a circle maker if they get their circle up on the front page of the Sun or something.
Absolutely, yes. It's a nice thing, actually, because it generates its own interest and it has a kind of life of its own. And it's a bit like sort of Banksy stuff. You know, how do you claim it without getting into trouble? You know, in some ways, I suppose Banksy's mastered that one. But as crop circles go, when you make something, it kind of becomes everyone else's property. You kind of say goodbye to it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But not the photos, because the photos can sell for a fortune.
Well, that's true. I mean, some people sell them and they've turned it into a little sort of cottage industry. I don't mind that so much. You know, there are some good photographers out there, and, you know, if they're making money out of it, they take the time doing it. That's fine. But I just when you've got this kind of thing of people saying it's aliens in order to sell, you know, their T-shirts and whatnot, then that's where I kind of stepped in a few years ago and started talking about it a bit more and telling people how it's done, trying to sort of, you know, demystify some of that. Yeah. Even though I do believe there's something weird going on inside crop circles, you know, even though it's people that are making them, it's definitely weird stuff. But this whole aliens make them, people can't, that's totally the wrong angle on it, you know.
Okay, well, what about your, was it called the Video Vault, you said?
The channel I've got at the moment for Urbex, and it started off, you were on it in the early days, actually, one of the first videos I put on there.
What's it called, Matt?
It's called The Secret Vault.
Oh, The Secret Vault, that's right, yeah.
The Secret Vault, and it's one word with no spaces between it, so it should be easy to find, The Secret Vault.
Okay, and what you do is you just kind of go into the places where no one is supposed to go, and amazingly, you've, you know, in a sort of Doctor Who style, really, you've managed to come back in one piece. Incredible. But what about, I mean, first of all, let's just talk about some of your most recent ones, which are Birnbeck Pier, which is always, whenever I go past it up at Weston-super-Mare, I mean, it's a tragic looking place. There used to be beautiful ships sailing from there. I, in fact, even met a guy who was, and interviewed him, who was born in the house right at the coast there, just at the end of the pier, and he served at the tables. He worked up on the pier in its heyday in the 1950s, and he, you know, this was a beautiful place.
Ferries
going over to Wales, for example, and now it's just a derelict. When I look out to it, it looks to me like some sort of Scooby-Doo island, you know, where some bunch of criminals are hanging out. But anyway, what made you decide to go there, and what did you find?
Right, well, I've always wanted to do it, and I thought, well, we could do it by going down there in the daytime, and we'd probably get spotted, and we could walk out to the island when the sea is low, but you've got to be careful of the timings. And I thought, do you know what? I know there's a... And be careful, folks, with this information I'm going to give you now. Don't try this, because I do not want to be responsible for what you're about to hear. Okay, but there is actually a safe way across it. They've created a pathway down the left-hand side walking out to the island, which was made rigid for the use of lifeboats. So even though the rest of it looks like it's falling apart, and even that bit from underneath looks like it's falling apart, it's not. But I didn't tell you that. And don't try walking across there, because if you get blown into the sea, you're dead. That's the end of it, you know. So, but it is possible to walk across there. And I thought, well, do you know what? I want to go across there at night. I've got this night camera that films really well in the dark. And I want to go there in a really, really blustery, nasty night, you know, with like this, the waves coming up. And you know, just for effect, really, you know, to sort of boost myself as well, sort of like being exhilarated going out on this like rickety old walkway out into the sea, quite a distance. And yeah, we did it. We went out there, and oh boy, it was windy. It was crazy windy. And we saw all the wrecked bits of house and stuff that was there. But there used to be amusement arcades there in the past. They used to have roller coasters and water slides, and that's all gone. But just the last bits that are left, I suppose it must have been a cafe or something, somewhere you could.
Well, that's
have
right.
Food.
I was told that there was a legendary restaurant there, actually, and that people would come from miles around to go there. And it was a place where if people turned up for their ship or they arrived from a ship, then they would sometimes go in there to eat. And it was supposed to be some fantastic food in there.
It looked amazing. And I mean, you could see the remnants of stairs leading to an upstairs, which would have been a house. You could see rooms that would have had, there was a toilet there. You know, the floors are disintegrating. And I mean, you know, anyone who tries to walk around up there is going to fall through the floor. They probably get a spike through their leg, and, you know, it's not going to be good. So don't try what you see in our videos. But yeah, we did see some bits that you don't normally get to see by climbing around. And it looked fascinating, and I just couldn't believe that somebody let it go. You know, they let it just disintegrate by letting the roof. What tends to happen, this is what I believe happens, they let the roof go. And once you let the roof go and the water starts getting in, that's it. Everything will just disintegrate underneath. And that's what seems to have happened. And now the roof has collapsed. The metal girders are kind of precarious there. There's bits of metal swinging around inside. It's something else to look at, and it is dangerous, but it's eerie and spooky and ghostly. You know, they got the old piano there, an organ there, and you can imagine somebody would have been sitting there playing the piano to people having their food.
Amazing. Well, what about, are there bits of the old amusement arcade, bits of the restaurant, bits and pieces, ephemera still hanging around out there?
Oh, I'm sure it all is, but you can pick it up in your hand, and it's sort of like it's dust now. It just falls between your fingers, you know. So, yeah, it's all still there, you know, in dust form, yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts about why such a fantastic resource is this? Obviously, this is a prime bit of real estate that's been allowed to fall into such disrepair.
Well, I've got a personal belief on this, and I don't know whether some people agree with me, that there's listed buildings and listed status. It's very hard for people to work within the confines of the listed building procedure, you know, working with, you have to use the same materials, it has to have the same look, and it's very expensive. So what people tend to do is they buy up these places, saying, oh, I'm going to do this up. So they get it on a deal because they know it's going to cost millions more than it would normally cost, you know, tens of millions more to do the same work. They buy these things up promising, you know, I'll do the work, I'll do the work. So they get a deal. They get a really cheap deal on this land. So now they've got the land and they do nothing. And that and it's by design. They do nothing. And they, it was planned that way because they want the buildings to fall apart. Because once the buildings are actually no more than dust or rubble, then they can come along and ask for planning permission to do whatever they want.
Yeah, so maybe they'll do something similar that, as what's happened at Knightstone Island, just a bit further down the coast there in Western, where it's been all redeveloped into luxury flats.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, it's sad in a way that, you know, things are kind of restrictive, but I think there are also these chancers who play the system, you know, to get cheap deals, promising that they will keep these places with the roofs on. And they're actually destroying heritage. They're destroying very interesting locations by being greedy. You know, they should never be allowed to have these places. And I personally think there should be a change to the listing laws or property laws that if you don't start work within say, 6 months, there's no signs of anything starting. Within a year, you'll have it taken off you, and it'll be put back up.
No, I agree. I mean, it would be quite easy to have a kind of property tax escalator for unused buildings where you can, after a year, you know, it has to go on the open market again, and you have to sell it, maybe auction it.
Yes, yep. It would stop all this, like, greedy, people let castles disintegrate for the same reason, you know, because they want to build a nice mansion on the land that the castle was on. And it's just, it's disgraceful, you know, it's absolutely disgraceful.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. People point their finger at people like you, Matt, and say, oh, this is such an irresponsible thing to do. Actually, the really irresponsible thing is allowing that place to get into that state. And now there's also something called the Friends of Birnbeck Pier. I wonder if you had any dealings with them.
No, I've not heard, apart from the police that we met on the way back, who said, well, the reason they were there is because they thought somebody was trying to commit suicide. But apart from that, no, I've not spoken to anybody from over there. Just to go back to a point you said about people do point the finger at us. They say, we often get told, oh, you're breaking in, which is why I film everything. So you can see the climb over a wall, the scramble down, the walk in, walk out. We don't break in or damage anything. But what we do by highlighting these places and the fact that they're there is actually get people thinking. And in some cases, people have ended up buying the properties, or because they can see that people are now starting to visit, they panic. They go, oh, God, somebody's getting into my property. I better do it up. So it forces these rich people into dealing with one of 100 properties they've got. They actually pull their finger out and they do something. And in some cases, like in Swindon, there's the Mechanics Institute in the centre of town. Because we went in there and showed it had two theatres that were, you know, like falling apart and the roof was coming in, there's now been a big campaign to actually save it.
Fantastic. Because of our film. Is the journalism that, you know, should be being done by the broadcasters, that they're too lily-livered to bother with. But And also, what about Porton Down? Because this is the British Chemical and Biological Weapons Establishment down near Salisbury. That, I suppose, was a little bit more of a dicey place to get into.
Well, when we say get into, what I actually did was just drove my car as far as I could before somebody stopped me. So I didn't do anything that was technically illegal because I drove through gates. I drove as close as I could to the base, and I got very close to areas that I thought I would never be able to get that close to. And I thought to myself after I did it, I thought, how are they letting people get this close? Because surely if somebody who had bad intentions was doing what I'm doing now, they'd be able to get way too close.
Amazing. So what you're saying is the way to get into Porton Down is not to climb over a fence or tunnel under it or something. It's just to drive in the main gate.
Yes. And I've got to say that although they've got some guys with guns, I think that people would still be able to just do something really silly there because you're way too close. By the time you see those military guards, and you see those checkpoints, if you just put your foot down, you'd be right next to buildings that containing some of the most deadly viruses on the planet. And that could be game over. And my whole purpose for publishing that and showing people that there's some very strange planning has gone on for the areas that keep you out around it. It's like all the security. If you imagine, if you draw a line down the center with an arc, a crescent on the right hand side, everything to the left of this line of the cake, so the left hand side of the cake, there's no protection. So that left hand side of the base, you can walk right up to it and you can throw a tennis ball at the buildings. There's nothing. There's no laws to say stay out. But if you cross across onto the right hand side of the cake, there's military guards, there's laws, and there's things saying you can't go in there. But I was just pointing out, you know, hang on, guys. What about the left hand side of the base? Because I can literally walk up and throw a tennis ball at the side of the base. And it's a dog walking, it's right next to a railway. But, you know, you're literally looking at the side of the base. So, I mean, it doesn't take much imagination to think of what creative things some dastardly people could do. And for the sake of what's just happened with a certain pandemic that we've just had, we don't want anything getting out of labs. So we don't want crazy people getting near labs. So my intention was to just kind of pique the security's interest so they think about it and maybe actually move their borders out a little bit.
Now, I mean, I know that's not the only military base that you've, I wouldn't say penetrated their defences or whatever, but, you know, you've certainly got quite close. Have you ever come face-to-face with the military? What's your most memorable confrontation when they actually come sort of nose-to-nose with you?
Oh, right, yeah, very intimately close was I went to have a chat at a place called RAF Ludlow Manor. They investigated UFOs, although they denied it for many years. We actually got an admission in the end. They did investigate UFOs from RAF Ludlow Manor. It's in Corsham in Wiltshire, and they've got a big underground tunnel system of 25 miles of underground tunnels. And no, I'm not imagining this. There's a naval commander went on television many years later to actually say exactly what I'd said there. 25 miles of underground tunnels is all true, folks. Anyway, the royal family would stay down there in an emergency. It's like they're sort of, maybe not now, but in the past they would have gone there. So let's come back to UFOs. I went up to the guardhouse of this place, RAF Ludlow Manor, and I just said, is there anyone I could speak to about what this place does? And I was only there about 20, 30 seconds. And a Land Rover pulled up behind us. These army guys ran out, and they basically pointed guns right at my head. So we had guys on the left and the right, and they were just, don't you move, pointing guns at my head. And then this strange officer got out of the vehicle and goose step walked, like as if he was on some sort of weird parade, but he was doing this like Monty Python goose step walk towards the car. And he, you know, sort of said, hello, gentlemen. Can I ask what you're doing here today at RAF Ludlow Manor? And I was like, yep. So I gave him the whole nine yards, showed him my customs and excise ID to show him, like, you know, I'm not an idiot. You know, I'm sort of like, you know, I'm known to the government and that sort of stuff. And after all I told him, he said, well, I'm not very happy with your explanation. And it's like, well, what other explanation could there be? It's like, I'm here asking about UFOs and, you know, I've just come up to your gatehouse to ask you. So, yeah. So it was a funny one, but that's how close sometimes you can get to these people. So,
So they just let you go, did they?
Somebody telephoned through. There was a short back and forth conversation, and then they let us go. So, yeah.
But that does sound a little bit over the top for an RAF base that doesn't even have any aeroplanes.
Yes, it doesn't have aeroplanes, and it looks very low-key, or it did until recently, because we've been shaking the tree with this place for such a long time that now they've actually changed their status. They played this game there of making it look like that the base was shut down, nothing was going on there, that you could even buy parts of the base and use it for film sets and things like this, and it was all subterfuge. It was never going to happen. They never allowed anyone to buy or use any part of the base. It was all just subterfuge to keep people from understanding what was really going on, which was the underground stuff and the communications technology that was operating from there, because it's where they operate. The UK satellite network is operated from that place.
Yeah, so amazing.
A central hub. Now, they've turned it into GCHQ2, if you can believe this, right? They don't call it GCHQ2, But it's basically GCHQ 2 is now in Corsham, and they spent £650 million of money that was meant to be allocated for cybersecurity, which went to London, and then suddenly £650 million worth of money was spent on Corsham, which was allocated to London, but spent in Corsham. So you work that one out. Yeah.
Okay, look, a little bit of blue sky thinking here. Without giving too much away, is there anywhere you'd really like to hop over the fence in the future?
I'd love to go to Area 51. So I have some friends of mine are laughing at me now. They're sort of, Matthew's on the radio. Yeah, right, okay. Giggling. Yes, Area 51. Yeah, I'd love to go to Area 51. I would love to possibly go to the Vatican, have a look at some of these secret old documents, what they've got there, see if they've got anything interesting, you know.
What I mean, why Area 51 particularly? I mean, hasn't Britain got its own version of that somewhere?
Well, some people have called the caves that we've gone in underground, they've called that Area 51 because it's sort of like secretive. Porton Down has been called Area 51. Boscombe Down has been called Area 51. But I don't think they're not hidden away like the American stuff is very much hidden away. You know, you
yeah, I mean, just for people that don't know much about Area 51, it is actually a vast, vast area, isn't it? Probably thousands and thousands of acres in the United States where all sorts of testing goes on. And I don't know if there's anywhere quite such an equivalent here other than maybe somewhere like Salisbury Plain.
Yes, and stuff from Area 51 probably has been flown secretly into Boscombe Down, and there was a crash of an unknown aircraft which was covered up on the runway and they wouldn't let anyone go near it. So what was that then? It was flying in at night and it didn't want anyone to see it, and it's never been admitted what that aircraft was. Well, if it was an F-117, we knew about those. If it was a U-2, we know about those. What aircraft was that that to this day they cannot tell us what that aircraft was?
Well, that is, I mean, this is one of those typical things the military get up to, is they've got all sorts of technology out there that they certainly don't want anyone to even know exists. I think it was during the first Gulf War, maybe, when they first admitted that they had these stealth bombers and stealth fighters, which they'd had for many years, but they were completely secret.
Indeed, yes. I mean, they say that they're about 25 years ahead of what we know with technology, and stuff that they've been using at Area 51 could be gravitic technology. It could be stuff that the Chinese are also experimenting with, and we wonder whether these Tic Tac UFOs, which have been talked about recently, which the American government have gone to great lengths to say, ooh, we don't know what that is. It must be somebody else's technology, you know, and it's like, is it, isn't it? Maybe they know exactly what it is. Maybe it is their technology. Maybe they want to start using it in other countries and they don't want to anyone to say that's American. So they're playing this plausible deniability game of, let's say now it's not ours, then we can fly it wherever we want and people will go, oh, maybe it's alien. You know, so a double, triple bluff, quadruple bluff.
Who knows? Anyway, look, Matt Williams, just give us your contact websites, that sort of thing, and the video channel again, please.
Yeah, go on YouTube, and in YouTube, type in the search bit, type in The Secret Vault with no spaces, and you will get to see all the fun that we have.
Matt Williams, thanks very much for joining us.